The scripture of the message today is John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to Father. Amen.
사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및 전국에 1만
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, let us give all thanks and glory to God the Father who has blessed us to have these pastors and workers devotional service. Dear devotees, Jesus showed tremendous power during his ministry on this earth. Many were amazed by such great power and believed Jesus came from God. But Jesus did not say he alone could show such power of God. Today's reading passage, John 14:12 says, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. As said, after the resurrection and ascension of the Lord, the disciples spread the gospel showing the power of God. Of course, the power given to each of the disciples was not greater than that of the Lord, who is God in origin. It's just that in the Lord, they could do even greater things than what Jesus had done. Jesus ministered in a relatively small area for the short period of 3 years. On the contrary, the disciples traveled to bigger areas for longer periods of time while delivering the gospel to more people. Not just during the era of the apostles, but today as well, we can do even greater things than those if we have true faith. I've accepted today's reading passage with faith. I cried out to God to receive God's power, offering countless online prayers and fasting. The result is the works that you've been seeing, hearing, and experiencing for the past 35 years in this church. But from now, not just me, but you should also show such power of God. I've always told you the ways to receive God's answer. But very few people followed the ways I told you. For this reason, God the Father opened another way for you. If you are united with the shepherd by trust and love, God will also let you show the power given to the shepherd. The 12 disciples and the 70 disciples showed the power of the Lord when they were anointed by the Lord. Similarly, many people preach in crusades with the handkerchiefs on which I prayed. But it shouldn't be just those who go out to handkerchief crusades or several men of Holy Spirit. From now, you should also be able to show God's power in your respective areas. If you receive the power, you can be guaranteed by God and give glory to Him in your church duties, businesses, workplaces, and even in your families. You can reap 30, 60, or 100 times more fruits. For this reason, the title of today's message is Power of the Shepherd. If you understand what kinds of attitude of heart the shepherd had until he received this power, and then if you try to live with a similar attitude, you can also show this power. In this message, I will talk to you about the three aspects of the ways for you to show the power of the shepherd and accomplish the kingdom of God together. Through the message, may you become instruments of the Holy Spirit that will participate in the providence of the Father and give glory to God greatly, I pray this in the name of the Lord. Dear devotees, in order for you to show the power of the shepherd, first of all, you have to seek God's kingdom only. Namely, in all situations, you should think about what will benefit the kingdom of God rather than what will benefit you personally. Romans 14:8 says, "For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." After I met God before death, I considered the Father God and the Lord most precious in the whole world. I cast away sins because I knew it pleased God. I was faithful with all my life because it's the Lord's will. I prayed all night and fasted whenever I could, but the prayers were not for personal matters, but for the church, my pastor, and the souls. I even gave over my family for God's kingdom, and I always thought about the church ahead of anything else. As I lived such a life year after year, God gave me the calling to become a pastor and gave me power upon power each year. When some people are saved from bankruptcy or incurable diseases by God's grace, they become full of grace and they pray hard and work faithfully. They sometimes say they will only live for the Lord, but if they begin to receive blessings, they begin to change their attitudes. They skip prayers saying they're busy, and they quit their God-given duties. They miss Wednesday services and Friday all-night services. Sometimes they barely make it to Sunday services. They might partake in acts of unrighteousness due to their greed. They say they will give to God once they receive blessings from their works, but the fact is, they are distancing themselves from God more and more. So please don't say such a thing. Like, please do not pray for that kind of blessing. It'll only bring hardship upon you. It is when they have problems with their business or health that they then come to repentance. We can say this is a fortunate case. In other cases, they forsake faith completely. They compromise with the world little by little as they seek their own benefit and follow their greed. But consequently, they depart from God completely. There are other cases too. Some workers keep on working for God, but in some moments, they put their own agenda ahead of the heart of the Heavenly Father. You're well aware of the incident in which my three daughters and a young man were poisoned by carbon monoxide gas soon after the church opening. If you were in that situation, what do you think you've done? Wouldn't you have lamented, saying, "God, I have only worked hard for your kingdom, and now how can you take all three daughters at the same time?" Or, suppose you'd pray for their lives, then who would you have prayed for first? Would you be more earnest when you pray for your daughters, or when you pray for the young man? As for me, I only offered prayer of thanksgiving, and I prayed for the young man first. I was only thankful, even if God took all my daughters away. And in fact, I prayed that way, "Father God, thank you for taking my daughters away. This world is full of sorrow and pain and tears, and Father, thank you for taking them without putting them in the world, because I never thought they were going to live again." So after giving my thanks to God, I prayed for the young man who was unconscious. So I was only thankful even if God took all my daughters away, but if the young man died, it could disgrace God in some ways. And for this reason, I prayed that God would let him live, because it's the church just opened. And if the young man died, of course it would disgrace God. Probably we wouldn't be able to bring any newcomers. So that is why I pray to God that please let this young man live. Because I had this kind of heart, God revived not only the young man, but also all my daughters. And furthermore, He gave me greater power. So if you want to seek God's kingdom first, you have to check small things in your life first. Suppose you have saved even one drop of water at home, but you don't really care about wasting water at church. Suppose you can choose a restaurant where you'll have a meeting, and you make the choice according to your preferences. These things come from selfish motives. As a leader, sometimes you should appoint some people to different positions. If you just choose a person who is close to you, even though there is a better person for the job, then this also means you have selfish motives. Having selfish motives means you have the potential to change your mind. I never tried to serve any self-interest just because they are my family members or just because they are close to me. I've never appointed anybody considering those physical relationships. I've never appointed my own daughters at my discretion. To the extent that they were recognized by the people, they became leaders. I didn't intervene at all. So they were raised only according to the will of God. But there are many people who don't do that. You know, they appoint someone they like, those who are close to them. And this is not right. You have to always think about God and His kingdom. As a leader, sometimes you should appoint some people to different positions. If you just choose a person who is close to you, even though there is a better person for the job, then this also means you have selfish motives. Having selfish motives means you have the potential to change your mind. Then, even though it seems you are faithful now, God cannot give you His power to use you. I hope you will cast away all things that are self-motivated, seeking personal benefit, personal tastes, your family, and those who are close to you. In so doing, I hope you will be worthy to receive God's power and be used by Him to the fullest extent. Dear devotees and other members, in order for you to show the power of the shepherd, secondly, you have to live only for God's glory. Those who serve only the interest of God will naturally live only for God's glory. Luke 17:10 says, "So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" No matter how much we work for God's kingdom, our work cannot be compared to the grace we've received. Also, no matter how hard we work, we cannot bear any fruit unless God gives us His grace. Even though farmers work hard day and night, it is God who gives the sunshine, rain, and wind, and ultimately, the fruits. We cannot bring about any sanctification, revival, or blessings with our own ability. Those who realize this point don't wish other people would recognize their work. They only give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." When I received the calling to become a pastor, I was already relatively old, and I didn't have enough memory power to study theology. I had an introversive personality, and I wasn't a good speaker. It was hard for me to imagine myself as a pastor. Without the inspiration of God, I couldn't preach even for 5 minutes. Without the Father holding me, I couldn't do anything. So even though I showed great power of God, I can't help but say that it was all done by the Father and the Lord. I received the revelations through all-night prayers and fasting, and the power of God through many years of prayers, and yet I did not consider them my own. If only I was able, I wanted to share all of it with you, so that the glory of God would be revealed more greatly. So through the handkerchiefs, many people receive healing and answers to prayers. For that reason, I prayed on the handkerchiefs. Who would want to share the power they have? You know, they would want to keep it to themselves. Who would want to share? But I wanted to share with as many people as possible so that it could benefit the kingdom of God. When you give testimonies, you'd say the blessing is given by the Father's love, the Lord's grace, and the Shepherd's power. But I hope you'd check yourself once again as to whether you are seeking your own glory. You say with your lips that you are giving glory to God, and you've done everything through the power of the Shepherd. But sometimes you somewhat try to reveal yourself. You have underlying boasting. You, in a sense, want to say, I love God so much. I show the power of the Shepherd, and I've received great blessings. If others do not recognize your hard work, some of you harbor resentment toward them. You feel uncomfortable or become disheartened, thinking, I've worked so hard with my love for the Father and the Shepherd, but nobody says a simple well done or thank you. Ones who worked less receive praises, and why only them? Philippians chapter 1, verses 14 to 18 says, tells us that when the Apostle Paul was put in jail while preaching the gospel, some people more diligently spread the gospel to help with Paul's ministry. On the contrary, there were people who were jealous of Paul. And these people spread the gospel with an impure intention. They thought if they worked hard, Paul's influence would be weakened, but theirs would increase. Concerning this, Paul says in Philippians 1:18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. No matter what their intentions were, if they spread the gospel and more souls were saved, Paul would rejoice again and again, even though he could not take any credit. If I think about it, many people are going out to the whole world with the handkerchief crusades, for handkerchief crusades. But I was never envious. Of course, it doesn't make any sense to be jealous. I just wanted them to spread the gospel and to save as many souls as possible and give glory to God. With that, I rejoiced. I was happy. I never said, it's mine. You know, you received my prayer. I never thought that way. It's all Father's, and they gave glory to God, and they saved souls, and I was satisfied. I was happy. I hope you too will also give glory to God alone with this kind of attitude of heart. If you've given a lot of offerings, yes, well done. But in fact, it is not truly, fully your work either. The money was also given by God, and the desire to give to God was also grace given by God. If you worked hard physically for God's kingdom, it is precious work that deserves praise. But in essence, it's not something you did. Health was given by God so you could work hard. The grace to volunteer was also given by God. No matter what kinds of fruits you've borne, they were all grace of God alone. When you can truly accept this from the heart, God can give you His power and use you as much as possible. Dear devotees and other members, In order for you to show the power of the shepherd, thirdly, you should love the souls. When he saw the souls who were slaves of sin and suffering from diseases and disasters, Jesus shed tears. He was heartbroken. He did not just shed tears feeling heartbroken. He took the suffering of the cross so that we could actually be set free from death and pains and enjoy eternal life and happiness. True love is giving one's life to others. This love becomes the authority and power to be able to give life for others. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "Having so found an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." He professed his earnest love in Romans 9:3, saying, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." It means he wouldn't spare even his life for the souls, and that he could even go to hell on their behalf. Can you understand this kind of love? It's not just for hours, days, or months. It's not just for 1,000 or 10,000 years. How can one go to hell for somebody else, knowing very well the pain of fire and sulfur there? But love is stronger than death. I can feel what kind of emotions Paul had when he made his profession of love. For this reason, I also said I wanted to receive the punishment of hell if it could save 1,000 souls. God saved many souls that were dying over the past several years and gave me power upon power, which in turn proved my profession was not a lie. How is it with you? Can the pastors give your life for the flock that is entrusted to you? When you see the weak and dying souls, do you cry out to God desperately, wanting to save them? This love is not something only pastors need. You devotees are leaders in the church. It means you have faith and you have received great grace. Then, the tears of the Father and the Lord shed for the dying souls should be in you too. The crying out of the shepherd who clings to God for the souls should be in you too. To the extent that you love the shepherd, the power of the shepherd will be manifested wherever you go. Let me conclude the message. Dear devotees and other members, we do not know the day or the hour of the Lord's coming back. God will set the most appropriate day so that the greatest number of souls will be saved. But it is certain that a day has been set, and we don't have so much time left. You should quickly achieve holiness in you and fulfill the duty given to this church as well. I cannot do all these things alone, even if the power given to me is great. I can fulfill the providence of the Father only with your help. Now, I ask you to become powerful instruments and be used in the ministry of the Holy Spirit at the end time. In so doing, I hope darkness will go away from all your families, workplaces, and businesses, and God's glory will be revealed, and many souls will be revived. May you receive God's love and guarantee whether you come in or go out on this earth, and later partake in the glory of New Jerusalem. I pray this in the name of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, I've never seen any pastor who is trying to receive the power of God. I don't know if you're doing it in hiding, but just like I prayed to receive the power of God, I've never seen anybody who can even begin to compare to the prayers I offered. Even when I was in difficult situations, I always went to the mountains to pray to receive the power of God. So I traveled all over Seoul, all over prayer, all the prayer houses all around Seoul. At the moment at the church I was attending, the pastor there didn't like me praying out loud. So I went. I had to go to these isolated places or mountains so I could cry out as much as I wanted. Or I went to the prayer houses, usually located in mountainside. I had to get the blanket, I had to bring the Bible and the hymnal book, and of course the bed is sleeping is uncomfortable. Sometimes I had to share accommodation with other people. And yet, I've visited most of the prayer houses in and around Seoul. And I prayed so hard, so fervently, so desperately and earnestly, and I fasted so often, and I always offered all-night prayers. And I also definitely attended worship services in each prayer house. And whether it's cold or not, in any kind of weather, despite the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter, I really prayed hard, so passionately. And I fasted and I offered vowed prayers, crying out to God. So that's how much I stored up the prayers before God. Just like beginning with Moses in the Old Testament, Moses, Joshua, and Elijah. And I wanted to receive that kind of power. I was praying. That's how my heart was urged to pray for those things, that kind of power. So I began with Moses and also up to Peter and Paul. So I wanted to receive the power of God, the power of God that they received. So whenever I had time, I fasted and I offered vowed prayers and I prayed in the mountains and I also prayed at home. All my prayers and vowed prayers, and also Mrs. Lee, she was praying together. And after those prayers were piled up, each of those prayers, when the time came, it began to be revealed as the power of God. And the power given to me, is if I explain it, it becomes like bragging. So even before the opening of the church, when I prayed for somebody, everybody was healed at once. I didn't have to pray for anybody two times. Everybody was healed by one-time prayer. Maybe there was a couple of cases where they weren't healed by one prayer. But so that's why in those cases, God let them pray for 21 days and then pray. And then let me pray for them. But eventually, because God knew they wouldn't obey later, after all. So, but anyway, they were healed, the pains were gone, and they wouldn't cast away the anger that they were told to cast away, and their parents also left the church, except in those cases. Also, there was a case where the head of the hospital, the hospital which dealt with cancers, but this doctor had cancer. And it was all over his body, on his belly and back, and he couldn't even lie down. So he had to lie on the waterbed because the pain was so great. And even for those things, even for those people, I prayed for them after the theological college was over. After going to school, after going to the college, I prayed for them. But later, it was that I piled up, I stored up all the works. And even in winter, even in cold winter, we didn't have good thick clothes. I had to sleep with just one little thin sheet of blanket. And the paper was torn that blocks the door, so the wind was coming in to the room. And yet, I was praying even while shivering and reading the Bible. That's how I spent winter days. Even when I was going to theological college, so I always prayed whenever I had time. So I can explain everything. I didn't have so much to eat because we were poor. But, and yet, I just wanted to receive the power of God and to save as many souls as possible. And I just wanted to save the souls. That was all I wished. So that was my goal. That was the only goal in my life. And that was my goal in the heart. So I always prayed with
it.
So that's how much prayer that I stored up before God. But now I don't see anybody. I don't hear anybody who is praying this way. Like I did. This cannot be done by praying so much for a short time. So you have to constantly pray this way. And the young pastors nowadays, I cannot ask them to pray like that, the way I did. Because I doubt if they will be able to obey. They love the Father, and if they really want to receive the power of God, so this kind of desire has to flow out from their heart, and they have to pray like I did, but I'm not seeing anybody. I haven't heard about anybody. But I'm not saying you have to pray the way I did to receive the power. But if you can do it, it's great. Because it's not easy to receive the power of God. Sometimes you have to abstain from eating so much, sleeping so much, and doing all the things for yourself. But if you really show faith, and if you do pray. And also you have to read the Bible whenever you have time so that you can understand each verse. Also, you have to memorize them if you can. But anyway, you have to be able to analyze all the contents of the Bible and understand it by heart, understand it in heart. Suppose there are things that God's telling us to cast away. That this has to be cultivated in you. So you have to cast it away. So whatever you couldn't cast away, you make a note of it and try to cast it away continually. So that's how you master the 66 books of the Bible. At first, it took a long time. It's like, because I also had to make note of difficult passages. But once you make once you complete it, the second time will be much easier because you mark it with red pens and blue pens. So now you have an understanding, and also you know which verses to memorize. So the second time it's much easier. It takes less time. And the second time, when you pray for the second time, when you read for the second time, most of the things I cast away. But because the flesh, the sinful nature is combined with the heart. So these things are difficult to cast away. So I concentrated to cast away, concentrated on casting away these things. So I was so happy to cast away the things that God is telling us to cast away because it's something you have to do anyway. So I was so happy following the words of God, obeying the words of God. And it means my heart was being purified and I was increasingly more resembling God. So I was very happy. So I read the Bible two times, and when it was the third time, it was very easy. And whenever you read them, we read about them, whatever God is telling us to cast away, you just cast it away at the moment, right away. Then there are not many things that are remaining. There were things that were particularly difficult to cast away. A couple of things. For example, do not hate. I hated some people when I was in my sick bed for some time, for a long time. And I couldn't understand them because I was sick, but they were telling me to die. And they were telling me crippled. They were calling me crippled and calling me names. And they were my relatives. So I had those hard feelings, resentment in my heart because I didn't know God at that time. So all that the resentment was planted in my heart and I wanted to pay back once I got better, once I got well. And I would make a lot of money. But there was no hope of recovery. And all these things were planted in my heart and the hatred grew up. But after I accepted the Lord, all those things, that was the most difficult, but it was cast away easily. So I once explained about it already. So I had this resentment, hatred, piled up for so many years because even though I was sick, they mistreated me. They cursed me. They hated me. And they were telling us to get divorced. Every time I heard such words, my feelings were hurt so much. So I wanted to avenge. But reading the Bible, after accepting God, one of the things that was that, you know, love your enemies. And I couldn't pass this verse because I had this hatred for such a long time. And how can I love these people? How can I cast away this hatred from my heart? I want to cast it away because God's telling us to cast away hatred. So how can I cast it away? So I had this agony and I was praying, and by God's work, God led me to the way to cast it away. So I realized, do not think from my viewpoint, but understand them from their viewpoint. Put yourself in the shoes of your mother-in-law, your brothers-in-law, your sisters-in-law. Think from their viewpoint. Not from your viewpoint, but just don't think about yourself, your viewpoint at all. But just think from the viewpoint of other people. So while I was crying out in prayer, that's what I did. I put myself in their shoes and I was thinking from their viewpoint. So I thought from the view of the mother-in-law. You know, you have a daughter and this daughter is suffering because of the husband. And which mother-in-law would like this kind of a son-in-law. Of course, she'd say this and that. So I thought about each and every person, and I came to understand. I could understand their heart. So when I was thinking from my own viewpoint, I couldn't understand them. But as I began to change the view, I could understand their mindset, their viewpoint. And her daughter is suffering because of this sick husband. And who'd like this kind of a son-in-law? Of course, she'd hate this son-in-law. So all my hard feelings melted away. From my viewpoint, they were saying a lot of harsh words. But when I thought about, thought from the viewpoint of my mother-in-law, I could understand them. Because I was sick, and right after the marriage, I became sick, and the wife is suffering. Of course, my brothers-in-law too. They all passed away, but mother-in-law also. They all passed away. So I was thinking from their viewpoint. If I made their daughter happy, why would they hate me? Of course, they didn't hate me so much, but that they sometimes complained and while drinking. They were shivering with anger, shaking with anger, because his sister is suffering because of the husband. He did a lot of exercising, and he was very athletic. And because his little sister was suffering. And this sister came back to her home. And so he came to me and told me, he was telling me, why do you make her leave home? I didn't say a word about it if you rather hit her. But it was like he was shaking and with while drinking, he was almost about to hit me. But I was not afraid. It's not my fault that I became sick. And I didn't really do anything wrong. So I just defended myself, but and after hearing my side of the story, he stopped. And you know, he wouldn't say anything just to make it happen in your own household. Why do you make her leave home and make her come back to her parents again? So all these things, if you think about it, you know, I was mistreated. You know, they mistreated me. They didn't welcome me. And all these things I remembered. Also, when Pastor Myung Lee was sick, she had rashes and these boils all over her body, and there were worms, actually. Actually, there were worms crawling on her head, and she was dying in the countryside. And the mother was saying, your daughter is dying. She shouldn't be able to live. Come down and do something. What can I do then? What could I do? So I went to the mother-in-law and asked for help. And she says, it's good. If she dies, it'd be good. You know, if she dies, it's easier for you to get remarried. And how could I not be offended? And I remembered all these things. And I reminisced, you know, it flashed through my mind like, you know, on a movie screen. So I remembered all these things. But from my viewpoint, I couldn't understand them at all. But when I began to think from their viewpoint, then it began to be resolved. These feelings began to go away. So I came to understand all those things. If you don't want to understand, you can never understand others. But when I laid myself down and only thought from the viewpoint of other people, all my hatred melted down, and so I repented. And in the hot summer days, I repented everything one by one before God. God, you are saying, love your enemies, but they are not even my enemies. And but they mistreated me because I was weak, I was sick, I was not whole. And yet I still hated them, and then, please forgive me. And then all this hatred, all these hard feelings, resentment, all melted away, and it went away. That's how I cast away hatred, especially toward my wife's family. And after praying for a couple of hours, all these hard feelings, resentment, hatred went away. It disappeared, and good feelings replaced it. So if I, I remembered, you know, if I was good, in a good situation, they would welcome me so much, they would love me so much. And they were not really bad people. I knew it. So I came to love them. So that the most difficult thing to cast away was hatred. So after casting away hatred, other things were not hard at all. The most difficult thing was hatred. And after casting it away this way, other things were not a problem. So easy to cast away. It all depends on you, how you make up your mind. So later, reading the Bible was so easy because there's nothing you cannot accomplish. There's nothing you cannot cultivate. So just don't do the things that God is telling us not to do, and cast away the things that God is telling us to cast away. To keep and do all those things. So after reading the Bible 3 and 4 times, everything was done. So in my books or the sermons, I received so many revelations, but everything is a match. There's nothing that contradicts itself. Many people, when they preach, they, you know, some years later, they contradict themselves. But in this church, because it's all given by God, everything is a match, and there's nothing that contradicts itself. Right? Even from the beginning, even before the ages, even before the creation, and also relating to heaven and hell. Not even one verse is a mismatch, because it's the revelation given by God Himself. So everything is a match. So this is how I cultivated all the words of the 66 books of the Bible. So even the difficult passages, if you get the understanding of God, then there's no problem. So there won't be anything difficult. Praying the Word of God, everything will be easy. I'm not asking you to do as I did. It'll be too hard for you. But if you really love the Father God and the souls, you will joyfully pray. I was going to mountains and all the time. Every week I was praying all the time, and I was happy, you know, praying. It was not never out of any force or coercion. Same with pastors and workers. If you really love God, what would you do? Of course, you are faithful. Many of you, you are very diligent and faithful and hardworking. But there are many others who aren't too. Those who are dozing off in worship services, or those who are not realizing themselves, and those who are not aware of their problems, those who are not aware of the problem. Why? The reason why they are not going into spirit. But other people, they see it clearly, but you know, they don't understand it themselves. But the other people, they cannot point it out to them. So through these messages, they can listen to them. They can, if you just try, and it don't take very long to go into spirit. You have the example. Oh, senior pastor read the Bible this way, so, and then he cast away the things that God is telling us to cast away, and he made a note, and he, of the things that he should have taken, cast away. So you can follow the same example, and you can cast away the sins while reading the Bible just once. Then if you get rid of those things, then you can go into spirit very quickly. And then Holy Spirit. But for such a long time, you're not even on the rock, and even you can't even go into spirit. And those who are stuck just before the spirit, many people for a long time. So I'll pray. So receive the prayer with faith. And those who haven't received the answer yet, they will receive the answer. They will receive the healing and solutions to problems. Father, Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and give them spiritual and physical health. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and Father, give them spiritual and physical health. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all darkness, diseases, germs, viruses, go away. Part of darkness, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Light, come. Heavenly Father, all the itchiness, drive away all itchiness. Father, lay your hands on both eyes. Let the eyes see well. Touch their eyeballs, touch their optic nerves, and let them be able to see clearly. Father, let them see well. Revive the dead nerves. Father, bless them. Let the ears heal well. Father, let the ears heal well. All internal organs, stomach, intestines, heart, lung, liver, kidney, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be healthy. All internal organs, lung and heart and kidney, intestines, stomach, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light, come. Father, all diseases, germs, go away. Kidney, be burnt. Lung, all the diseases in the lung, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light, come. Father, let all the skin diseases go away from all of the body. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light, come. Father, touch them. If there are broken bones, let the pain go away and lay your hands on them, and let all the crooked bones and all the broken bones, lay your hands on them and cleanse them. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light, come. Let all the bones be cleansed, be fixed. Father, touch them and heal them. All germs, diseases, go away. Cancers, third stage, last stage, metastasized cancers, lung diseases, tuberculosis, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. all from all the internal organs. Go away. All germs, viruses, go away. Light, come. Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let the whole body be healthy. All kinds of germs, viruses, diseases, you know, and Father, heal them, cleanse them. Father, also forgive them. Father, we repented, and Father, please forgive all their sins. Cleanse them with the precious blood of the Lord. Father, cleanse them. Father, give them healthy bodies. All the infirmities, go away. Father, make them healthy. Father, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes, go away. Diabetes, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Light, come. Father, touch them. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and make them whole and healthy. Lord, thank you. Touch them and heal them. And dementia, go away. All infirmities, go away. All nerves, be healed. Light, come. Father, bless them, touch them, and bless them. Evangelize their families and bless the little children, especially in the kindergarten, and also those men's mission, women's mission, all the grown-up adults and students, and bless them and answer to their prayers. Middle school and high school students, bless them, let them cut off the worldly things and let them make up their mind to pursue what is not meaningless. And if they think about it, all those things, how meaningless are they? And they are the things that spoil the spirit, the soul. And it hurts their spirit. It disturbs with their studies, and it can hurt it can break the heart of the parents. And there is no happiness there. There is no joy. And after some time, they become depressed. And let them cut off all these things and let them lead a happy life. Father, let them be able to go toward New Jerusalem college students and young adults and grown-up adults. Father, bless the elementary school kids, and also bless the children in the kindergarten. Give them wisdom and understanding, and let them excel in their studies by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. Father, help them. And bless all the teachers of Sunday school. Father, help them. And also, we have the seminary opening, and Father, help them and move their hearts. And those who would like to join them, Father, move their hearts. And for those who would like to become pastors, full-time Levite workers, missionaries, and also performers and singers and dancers, let them study well, go through all the courses, all the curriculum by the grace of God. And God, Father, move their hearts, move their minds. And Father, also we have the president, Dr. Esther Guyong Chung, and she will announce all the professors and everybody, and let all the students be educated well by the grace of God, so that they will be able to accomplish the world evangelism together. Father, help them. Father, help them. Also, Father, bless all the businesses, workplaces, and as they have sown and acted, bless them 30, 60, 100 times more, and let their tithes increase, and let them have more conditions of thanksgiving. Bless their businesses. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Let the impossible become possible, and the possible even better. And Father, thank you for letting us offer this devotional service. Father, let all the pastors, workers be changed. And in this year, 2017, let them be all pleasing in the sight of God. Father, thank you. Be with us in the remaining, during the remainder of the day and remainder of the year too. Let us be able to give glory to you, Father. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.